All right, so are you ready to dive into a medical mystery today?
Always up for a challenge. What do we have?
We're looking into the story of Jean, a woman who experienced this really puzzling illness, and we're going to be looking at her medical notes and a letter from her son, David. It gets, well, interesting to say the least.
Sounds intriguing. Medical mysteries always are. It's like solving a puzzle with some pieces missing.
Exactly. And in this case, it seems like the pieces didn't quite fit for quite a while for her doctors. It all started with a fall, actually, just a seemingly harmless tumble in her garden. She even joked about it later, those weeds pulling her back. Can you imagine?
It's actually quite heartbreaking because something so seemingly insignificant can spiral into a cascade of complex medical issues. And looking at her notes, we're talking MRIs, even a possible brainstem stroke, which that alone can impact so many things, movement, basic bodily functions. It's a lot. And then there's mention of treatments like Sinemet and Azelect, medications typically used for Parkinson's-like symptoms.
See, I didn't realize a brainstem stroke could manifest in so many ways. That just shows you how hard it can be to even get the diagnosis right.
Oh, absolutely. And for Jean, she was eventually diagnosed with corticobasal degeneration, or CBD. And CBD is tricky because it often mimics symptoms of other neurological disorders, like Parkinson's, which, as you saw, was also mentioned in her file.
Right. And there is that whole period where she got some relief when they accidentally gave her the wrong medication. Makes you wonder what they could do if they could have bottled that mix up, doesn't it?
It really does. Sadly, there is no cure for CBD. And that detail about her finding even temporary relief is just, well, it's poignant. Because one of the cruelest things about CBD is how it slowly robs people of their independence. Think about it. Jean loved to garden, but slowly she lost the ability to even use her hands.
It's heartbreaking, and it makes those little glimpses into her personality we get in these notes, her love of gardening, that fear of being alone. They just hit you harder. And speaking of things that hit hard, something else in the notes caught my eye. There's mention of her possibly being exposed to some things throughout her life, molten plastic and pesticides. Do you think that's significant? Could those kinds of environmental factors have played a role?
That's a great question, and it's a question that researchers are still trying to answer. While it's impossible to say for certain, based on just these notes, we do know that there is a potential link between certain environmental factors and neurological conditions. It's definitely something that warrants further investigation. To really know for sure if these things played a part in Jean's case, we'd need a much clearer picture of her medical history.
So we've talked about Jean's medical journey, but now let's shift gears a little and talk about her son David, because he actually wrote a letter about his experience with her passing, and it gets, well, let's just say it adds another layer to this whole thing.
All right, okay.
So David believes that when he was a child, he actually died, like briefly died and then came back.
Wow.
And he's convinced that this experience, it makes him believe in life after death.
That's quite a conviction to carry from childhood.
Right. And it's interesting because he recounts this experience in his letter, and then he goes on to describe something else. Right before he learned that his mother had passed, he felt this physical touch, and it really shook him.
You know, grief can be a powerful thing. It can manifest in really unexpected ways. Sometimes people experience vivid sensory events, especially during times of intense grief.
And that's what makes this so, I don't know, hard to just brush off, because he really emphasizes this connection that he felt with his mother, even after she was gone. And it's interesting because you see this theme of connection throughout his letter, but you also see this recurring motif of light. For example, he talks about a street light outside her window that was malfunctioning, and it almost seemed to mirror her declining health. And then he describes this glowing figure at his bedside right after she passed.
The imagery of light, it's powerful, isn't it? Across so many cultures throughout history, light has been connected to consciousness, to the afterlife, even to the divine. It's fascinating how these universal symbols can appear in such personal experiences.
Yeah, and it's almost as if, I don't know, as if light provides this bridge between what we understand and what we can't quite grasp.
Absolutely. And that's what makes David's account so compelling. Because some people might hear that and think, oh, well, the glowing figure, that was just a hallucination brought on by grief. Right. But then others might see that and say, no, that was a genuine paranormal experience. And the challenge with these types of experiences is that they're so subjective. What one person finds to be profoundly real, someone else might completely dismiss.
And that makes it pretty difficult for the scientific community to really study, right?
Exactly. Near-death experiences, or NDEs as they're often called, have been the subject of so much debate, so much research. And while there is a growing interest in understanding what happens in the brain during these experiences, from both a neurological and psychological perspective, the truth is we're still a long way from being able to fully explain them.
It's like we're walking this tightrope between what science can explain and the vast realm of human experience that we just can't quite quantify. And you know, that tension, it runs through both Gene and David's stories. The limitations of medical knowledge when faced with a mystery illness, the search for meaning when faced with the unknown. It's a lot to unpack, isn't it?
And unpack we must. Because this isn't just about one family's experiences, is it? Jean's struggle with misdiagnoses, her determination to find answers, that resonates with anyone who's ever felt lost in a medical maze.
Yeah.
And David's search for meaning in those extraordinary events that speaks to the human need to find connection and understanding, especially in the face of loss.
You've hit the nail on the head. This isn't just a medical mystery. It's a human story. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? What if those seemingly inexplicable experiences, like the touch David felt or the recurring motif of light, what if those hold a deeper significance? What if they offer a glimpse into something beyond our current understanding?
It's a question that has captivated humanity for centuries. And while science might not have all the answers yet, there's a growing recognition that there's more to our existence than what we can currently measure. The human mind, consciousness itself, those are still frontiers ripe for exploration.
It's both exciting and a little bit daunting, isn't it, to think that we're just scratching the surface of what we might one day understand about life, death, and the universe itself.
Daunting, perhaps, but undeniably awe-inspiring. And that's what I hope we can take away from our deep dive today. A renewed sense of wonder, a curiosity to keep asking the big questions, and a willingness to embrace the unknown.
Beautifully said. And for you listening, we hope this deep dive into Jeanne and David's story has sparked your own curiosity and left you with some food for thought. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those minds open.